welcome to the Plant Powered Podcast. Today I've got the beautiful Elise Carneal. I saw her online because we both model for the same fitness company, Infinite Aesthetics, but I don't think we did any shoots together because I think I'd moved to Australia before you joined the team. But it's just been really cool. I didn't even know that she was vegan or anything until I started following her, and she just posts like really good tips and everything online, like little pointers and bite-sized pieces on TikTok and everything. And I think she's very inspirational and she owns her own business, so I thought it would be cool to get her on to talk about lots of things about vegan diets and health and wellness and our relationship with food and everything like that. So did you want to add anything else to introduce yourself as well?
No, I actually think you did a great job. That was awesome.
Okay, cool. The first thing I wanted to ask you about was basically how you became a wellness influencer, and do you have any social media tips to build relationships with your audience and how to make sure you're always giving safe and reputable advice?
Yeah, so I became a wellness influencer. I actually wasn't at first. I really didn't have any sort of, I think they call it a niche. I'm not sure how to pronounce it. Some people say niche, some people say niche. But I say niche, yeah. But I really didn't have anything until about 2020, like January 2020, when I started getting into fitness. And I was like, I feel like everyone that gets into fitness, you just get so passionate about it. And then I just started sharing it and everyone started loving it. And that's kind of where that came from. And then it just started growing from there. And I really found that I started building relationships when I started just being myself. I feel like people were able to relate to me. I didn't want to go online and be this person that I wasn't, because I didn't want to have to fake, like if I did start making it big or whatever, if I started growing, I didn't want to have to fake like half of my life. So it was easy. Just kind of go online and, you know, kind of share what I was doing and share what I was doing pretty much every day, like a normal day, you know, share my food, share my fitness and everything else.
Yeah, I think that's so good, because I feel like, I don't know, someone came to me the other day and they're like, oh, I love what you do on social media and I would love to be able to do that for myself. So like, how do you get started? I was like, oh my God, this is so cute. But I just said, basically just start, yeah, like sharing things about your life. And for me, I do quite often share bad stuff as well, because I think people get really caught up in the perfection of the life. So I quite often talk about hard things I'm going through or how I'm feeling or different challenges and things that I've overcome and stuff. So I think being really transparent and even being transparent with your views on things and ways of doing things, even if it's out of the norm, because I think that's what makes it stand out if it is different to everyone else's kind of thing. So yeah.
Oh yeah.
I think that's the key.
Honestly, I agree. I think that it's like, I mean, even when I started, like you have this fear of being judged by people, but that's the problem, is that everyone has their opinion. And like at any point in your life, you're going to be judged for something, like no matter if it's your career or it's like the school you went to or literally anything else. And I think that like once I started posting and getting more comfortable, I kind of lost that. And I was just like, it just doesn't really matter, because I'm just sharing who I am and like what I know and what I've learned. And if something's wrong, or, you know, I maybe shared something that some people don't agree with, it's really just my opinion. And, you know, there are people that agree with it, there are people that disagree. And I think that's just something that as someone on social media, you just have to kind of get over that, I guess.
Yeah, I think it's really cool to bounce ideas off each other or just talk about certain topics, because if one person thinks this thing and one person thinks this is right, it's cool to just have a conversation to like discuss the different ideas around it and just use it as like a learning opportunity instead of arguing over it or something, and just sharing your views or what you've learned or what's worked for you. So yeah
exactly. And once you've shared your life, then it's a little bit more like, okay, well, you know, I'm just sharing like what I'm eating during the day or something. And there's really nothing wrong with that, you know, like.
Yeah. Could you talk a little bit about your history with disordered eating and how you overcame it?
Yeah, that was I mean, I'm still dealing with it a little bit. Like, I do still have triggers. So I actually found out that I had disordered eating. I was never diagnosed, so it's not an eating disorder, but it's just disordered eating. And I found out it was probably about a year and a half ago that I found out. And it was like, I just realized that I wouldn't stop eating sometimes, and then I'd restrict myself, and then I wouldn't stop eating. And it was just this cycle. And a lot of triggers came up about a year and a half ago, and, you know, they still keep coming up. And I was like, where is all of this coming from? Like, clearly this isn't, like, I would just get angry, or I would have, like, you know, super bad days, and it all revolved around food. It was always, always, always about food. And I couldn't really figure it out for the longest time. And then I talked to a couple of friends and they said the same thing. And once I started learning about nutrition, I was like, oh my God, this is actually like just not a healthy relationship with food. Like, this is obviously something a little bit more. The way that I got over it was just, first of all, learning about food. I feel like I started looking at food as fueling my body instead of, okay, I can't eat anything, or I have to restrict myself, or, you know, going back into that cycle. I started eating balanced meals and understanding what I had to eat, or, you know, what I felt like eating, and just like listening more to my body rather than saying like, I can't eat because I need to lose weight or something, you know, like I felt like I made a complete switch, and it just felt so much better.
Yeah, I think coming back to the basics of really just looking at food as fuel, like I've been through a lot of emotional stuff this year and just gotten to the point I'm like, I can't actually be bothered making anything, even if it's a 5-minute meal, I can't be bothered cooking. And then if I haven't eaten enough, I start to get really drowsy and then really bad fatigue, probably low in nutrients if you do it for too long because you're not getting enough intake and stuff, and even just low sugar levels because you don't have anything in the system. So I'll be like, oh my God, I'm so tired, I've got brain fog, I want to have a nap. And then if I just get up and make some food, I instantly feel more alert. And I'm like, oh my God, it's so simple. But it's only when I get into the stages of being too emotional or very overwhelmed and anxious about things that I kind of close off and not forget to eat. It's just like, I can't be bothered to do it. And then your energy really suffers. So food really is fuel for our whole life source and what we can offer to the world and who we show up as, because we'll have the energy to do that. So I think that's a really good way to look at it. And I think for me, like, I've never had like an eating disorder, but I'm really interested in healthy eating because of the way it makes you feel. But like, if you compare a crappy piece of cake to a whole food slice, the whole food slice that you make is going to be way more filling, it's going to have more nutrients, it's just going to make you feel so good in your digestion as well, because it doesn't have all the fake processed crap and all the fillers and everything like that. So I think making healthy versions of things is really fun because it's kind of like a little challenge, like, how can I make this out of whole foods and actually feel good and not have guilt around it? So I think that side of healthy eating is really interesting as well.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, and it's taking that this has, like, you can have something that has the same amount of calories, but I think it's like not even looking at the calories anymore and finally looking at, okay, but how is this actually nourishing my body? And, you know, I actually started, because I feel like my fitness journey started when I was going through some mental health stuff. And that's kind of the way I look at food now. Like, instead of looking at it like, okay, well, how many calories? It's more like, okay, but, you know, your gut is obviously so important. And I think that taking care of it affects your mental health so much. And that's like the way that I look at it now, which is, it just feels so much better to me.
Yeah. I see, this is like one of my biggest passions. I see so many annoying posts online and I actually get really angry about it, but it's like people in the fitness industry, like people who aren't even nutritionists, but they'll be like, look at these low cal supermarket snacks. And it's like the most processed crap, or they do graphs where like something processed and unhealthy is lower calorie than this huge salad bowl and wrap and like a smoothie. But to me, the low calorie thing will be higher in saturated fat, it's lower in fiber, can be lower in protein, so you're not going to feel full for as long. You'll probably eat more during like throughout the day because you're not as satisfied, and you'll probably have an energy crash because it's like not a slow release in sugar. So if you have the thing that's higher calorie, you might be full for half the day. It's going to give you more micronutrients for your energy and your body's functioning. It's going to have more fiber to move it through your system, help with your bowels and intestine health and just everything like that. And there's just so much more to it than just calories. And I get so annoyed when people like just focus on that kind of thing, because if you eat the high calorie thing, it's going to nourish you more and keep you feeling more full so you can get on with your day instead of still feeling hungry. So it's just such a shallow way that a lot of people look at it when that's their main focus.
I agree. Like, honestly, and I mean, you said it too, like, you're going to eat that, probably the low calorie thing, and then you're going to be hungry in the next like hour or two. And eventually it's just going to lead to you actually eating more calories in the long run, because you're not eating something that's, you know, actually going to keep you full. So I don't know.
Yeah. Can you talk to us a little bit about the intuitive bulk that you did? Because I haven't really met anyone else who's doing that as well, because I'm supposed to be training for a bodybuilding show in October, which will be my second ever one. And I literally just don't like tracking food. And I'm like, okay, cool. I'll start tracking food so I can get back on the track and know what I'm eating. And I'll do like track the breakfast and lunch and then forget by dinner. And then like a month later, I'm like, oh yeah, I'm meant to be tracking food. And I just forget. But especially if I'm doing recipes or if I have a lunch out, like I just don't even know what I put in the pan, because I'm so intuitive. I know what feels good. I know what I need. I know how to build the perfect plate. So I guess I did an intuitive bulk as well, but I haven't really thought much into it. So how did you make sure you're getting in enough food, and how did you measure everything out without using numbers, basically?
Yeah, so I got really good at like just knowing what I was eating. I knew my portion sizes and stuff. I just ate the same for like the longest period of time that I just knew, like, and I was lifting the same in the gym. I wasn't lifting more. I wasn't lifting less. Like, I was getting so bored, and I was like, okay, I need to change something. So I wanted to try it. And the way that I did it was because I already had an idea of what I was eating, I essentially just increased my carbs and increased my fats every time that I was eating. And then after a week, I just weighed myself. And the way I wanted to do it was, in 8 weeks, I wanted to gain 8 pounds, which I think is like about 4 kg, because I think that's what they measure here. And so I weighed myself every week. And then that was kind of how I gauged, like, okay, am I gaining too much or am I gaining too little? And it was actually going like really well. I was very surprised. Like, I felt like I was just full all the time. Like, I just made sure that I was like always, always, always eating. And like, I switched out some of my, because sometimes I'll eat like low carb stuff, or, you know, sometimes I'll eat like toast or something, and I switched that out for like higher carb things, like bagels, or like instead of just eating 2 pieces of toast, I would eat 3 or something. And it was going so well, but then I got COVID, and then I didn't eat for the first 2 days of COVID, and, you know, that kind of ended that. But it was actually like, I was very, very surprised that I was able to gain the weight that I did without tracking anything. And you know, I saw the progress in the gym. I had so much more energy. It was actually really fun.
Yeah, that's so interesting, because I eyeball my food as well, because I really just don't like numbers. I don't know if it's because maths was my worst subject at school, or I hated science. I quit the year as soon as it wasn't compulsory anymore. So I hate just complex things. And I see people post in the Facebook groups and stuff like, oh, this is what my coach gave me to make my daily meals out of, and it's like protein this many grams, fat this many grams, carbs this many, and like, I wouldn't know how to actually fuel my day or cook a meal based on that. Like, it's actually just too much for me to comprehend. So I always just go by what I feel, but I think not many people know how to do that. And you can kind of tell, like, if I make I used to have a food truck, so I'd make like a huge potato salad with like veggie bacon and stuff. So it's just so carb heavy. It did have like rocket through it, like greens, but it was just this big yummy carby meal. So at nighttime, I might have something lighter, like a soup or like a big salad or something like that. And you also just crave different things depending on what you're going through. So sometimes if I don't have much of an appetite or something, I might just do tofu or something in the air fryer with like huge salad. And then my carbs will just be a fruit bowl with protein custard. So it's not so heavy kind of thing. So you kind of just gauge it based on how you're feeling at the time. But not many people know how to do that because they've been so focused on the crazy meal plans and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of people are actually focused on like the numbers, and that's what they understand. And yeah, and I think that goes back to like just my disordered eating. Like I just don't feel comfortable tracking stuff just because I do know that it will feel restricted for me. And if I start to feel any sort of restriction, I will go back into the cycle. So even when I stepped on the scale, it was like quite triggering the first time because I was like, oh my God, like I know I'm trying to gain a pound, but it was triggering to see me gain a pound. And so I almost went into that like, you know, maybe I just should skip breakfast or I should just skip dinner or whatever. And I actually had to convince myself not to. I was like, no, like this is, you know, it's worth it. And I had to focus more on, okay, well, you're lifting more at the gym, so obviously you're just gaining muscle, you know?
Yeah, I noticed that restrictive mindset happens really easily. I describe it like a kid with a toy. If you take the toy off the kid or tell someone not to do something, it's like all they want kind of thing. So when I did my first bodybuilding show last April last year, I'd never like tracked or restricted food, but I was supposed to bring down my calories for the first time ever. And then I only did a 6-week prep after I went through a breakup, and then I just craved sweet slices the whole time. Like I just wanted chocolate, sweet slices, and I just craved sugar. And then the second I stopped, like the show was over, I didn't even reverse diet because I barely like went down in body fat percentage. I just went back to eating normal, and then I just ate healthier when I wasn't trying. I'm like, I feel like a big salad, and just went back to normal when there's no restriction. So I really believe in that. Like, I don't know, yeah, that mindset of when you feel like you can have anything at any time, you just eat normal and eat healthy because you focus on what feels good. But if you're freaking out about things like, oh my God, this has this many calories, it's like you're just stressing out about things all the time. Yes,
exactly.
The next thing I wanted to ask you about was, what are some of your favorite vegan meals or snacks for gym performance?
This one, to be honest, I'm so boring when it comes to food. Like, I feel like I am like, I'll have like, before I go to the gym, I'll have like rice cakes. And a lot of times I'll actually just like eat plain rice cakes because I just don't really care before I go to the gym. I eat oats every morning. I don't know what it is. I just love oats. Dinner. Yeah. Okay. That sun-fed chicken that's plant-based, because I'm sure you know.
Oh, that's good.
But yeah, it is amazing for protein. Like that is, if I can get that, it's quite expensive, but it's not too bad. And if I can get that in like a couple times a week, I am like, yes. Like,
yeah, that's definitely my favorite brand, but it is more pricey, but it's so clean ingredients. There's like nothing else added. It's like, I think I remember the ingredients list off by heart. It's like made by peas. It's got pumpkin, yeast extract, extra virgin olive oil. I think that's literally it. Like it doesn't have anything else. So it's so clean. And I just bought their mince to try, which I haven't opened yet. And they did do a veggie bacon, which is just, it was actually high protein and stuff. Because the other like mock bacons, they're really high in saturated fat and oils and all these preservatives, but that brand is just like actual clean protein. So it's so funny when everyone's like, oh my God, mock meat's so bad, you don't even know what's in it. And it's like, it's literally just what brand you choose. And I still buy the crappy ones sometimes because I want it, but that's the best one ever. Yeah.
I'm like, anytime that I can make like a curry or something with that, like, oh my God, it's just, because you just know that you're getting like enough protein and like you know, that's obviously something that, like, going to the gym and stuff, you're thinking about all the time, like, you know, protein powders or sun-fed chicken or, oh my God, yeah. And it just tastes so good. I honestly think it's like the best chicken.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay.
Yeah. Do you have any other favorite go-tos that help with your gym performance and stuff like that?
Honestly, not really. Like, I feel like I'm, like I said, I'm very much like, I'll have oats in the morning. At lunchtime, I usually have like, I love making bowls. I feel like bowls are the easiest to just like get everything you need. You can put your carbs or fats and your protein. And it's, I think that's where I got really like good at knowing how much I was eating, because I was like, okay, like when you have it all in a bowl, you can see how much carbs, how much fat, how much protein is in it. So it was super easy, and you can just fill it with like greens and stuff. And I think that's what helped me on my bulk, because I just knew like exactly the portions that I needed, you know?
Yeah, it does make it easier to eyeball like that. Could you go through some of the biggest mistakes you see from your clients in terms of over restricting or food choices or exercise, like with their form or over exercising and things like that?
So I mean I don't want to say every one of my clients, but most of them do have some sort of like restricting something. Either they're restricting their food or, sometimes people will also, like, some of my clients also, they want to be like fasting, or they want to do like intermittent fasting, and they're like, oh, well, it really works for me. But I explain to all my clients before I even take them on that I don't believe in it. And like, I really actually don't think that it's a good thing, because another thing is literally the restriction, right? So a lot of times, like, you'll see people that will do fasting or they'll do intermittent fasting. And then even with intermittent fasting, they'll have like one big meal during the day, and then, you know, they'll be just okay with it. And I just think that it does restrict you as soon as you get off of it. Like, you're like, oh, well, now I can just eat everything, or now I can, you know, I lost the weight, now I can do this. And I really like the restricting thing. It might just be myself, or, you know, when you attract stuff, like when you've been through it and you're passionate about it, you attract those kinds of people. So restricting is definitely just, it's huge. It's everywhere, you know?
Yeah. I think with the intermittent fasting, I think definitely what feels good for the person, because I think, like, honestly, if I'm hungry, I can't focus on anything. Like, last night I was freaking out because I was like, okay, had a full day on my computer, I was a little bit tired, had to lay down, finished off with some work, and I didn't get to the gym till nighttime, and I had to like search for some food to buy for dinner, and I'm like, I'm so hungry, where do I go? And I was like trying to Google it, like literally freaking out within myself. And then I got like a Turkish falafel kebab, and I just sat there scoffing it at the table. And then I quickly went to the supermarket and then bought like a protein bar after, and I'm like, okay, I kind of feel all right now until all the food like started to digest. And like, if I was trying to do intermittent fasting and I was hungry and then tried to ignore it, like, I'd rather just eat, kind of thing. But I think everyone needs to remember it comes down to the total, yeah, like calories you consume by the end, like in your daily window, versus what your body is burning off, like even within your resting periods and stuff. So I think if it helps you, like if it feels good, like if you're actually just not hungry for a meal, you might just have a snack instead, or just nibble on some nuts or a muesli bar, or have like a smoothie or juice or something. Sometimes I just do that for a little thing. If I don't actually want to eat, I'll just have something for a little pick me up. But I think lots of people, they'll force themselves into it. And if they're only having one meal a day, especially, that's quite hard to get in. I don't know. Say if you're on trying to eat 1800 or even 2000 calories, that's probably on the lower end for most women. Like, that's the biggest meal, especially if you're vegan or plant-based. Like, I literally wouldn't be able to fit that in my stomach. So it can be quite hard to get in everything if you're restricting the time window to be too small. So I always just say, if you're hungry, then eat, or if you're not hungry, then just wait or just have a snack or something, but always listen to your body and don't try to follow the rules. You don't, like, the rules don't have to be exactly the same every day, because some days you might want breakfast and some days some people might want to wait till brunch and just have it a few hours later. So just like tune in with what your body is trying to tell you.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's another thing is, you know, when people want to get into health and fitness, they want to like go all in right away. And they're like, oh, I just want to get on this diet. I just want to do this. This is exactly what I want to do. Or even for going plant-based, like some people want to just completely cut everything out like that day. And, you know, some people can actually do that, but a lot of people, it does take those steps to be like, okay, well, you need to actually incorporate, you know, a little bit more balance instead of just completely cutting everything out, because a lot of people, that's just too much of a change. And don't get me wrong, like some people can actually do it and they'll do it for years and they'll be fine. But most people, you know, you have to actually take it slow and actually build that balance. And you're right, like instead of restricting for however many hours, if you're hungry, eat. And if you're not hungry, you know, don't eat. You don't have to have lunch if you're not hungry, right?
Yeah, I saw this really cool analogy online as well. I think it's from a guy, I think his name was James Smith PT, and he uploaded this video saying, like, if your dog is overweight, you're not going to be like, oh, he needs to be in ketosis or like all these crazy things. Like, you're not going to put your dog on these crazy juice diets or do anything completely out the gate. You literally just be like, okay, walk them more often and feed them less food. Like, it can be really simple kind of thing. So yeah, really just tuning in and like coming back to basics.
I mean that's so true. There's like, I was gonna say that there's so many things online now that they overcomplicate it and they make it so complicated. And if you're someone that's just getting into, you know, just getting into nutrition or just getting into fitness, or you're just trying to be a little bit more healthy, you're gonna watch these things and like you'll probably be so confused because it's just too much sometimes. Like sometimes it does just need to be like the basics. Like you're right, just eat a little bit less food, go for some more walks. Like it's really simple.
The next question I wanted to ask you was how to overcome focusing on the scale. Because for me, I've never had an issue with that because I've never owned scales. Like there's scales at my house now, but I think the thing that's helped me was I went through some pretty, not extreme like physical changes, but I was never overweight when I was young. I was into athletics. I did heaps of sport. Just my old photos, I had like way chubbier cheeks and like just more straight, wider arms kind of thing. So I started strength training. Like I got my first weights program and I thought I was going to like turn out to be a guy. I was like, I can't do weights because my biceps are going to be like a man. And then the PT was like, just trust me. And I went plant-based at the same time. So that's when I was 21. And then just over 6 months of not trying, like I didn't track my food or limit calories or anything. I literally just lost all this fat off my body and my face got slimmer. And then everything just got like had more, physique to it because of the muscle toning and stuff. So that was kind of a crazy realizer for me, because even years down the track, like how, so I'm 25 now and I still weigh the same as when I was at high school. And I don't know how that's possible if I've put on more muscle and lost fat, because the muscle weighs more, but like I still have always just weighed the same, but my body looks completely different. So right from the get-go, I've never try to focus on the scale. I literally just focus on what I see in the mirror and how I feel kind of thing. So how, like, what have you done in your own life to overcome the numbers side of it instead of like the physical changes?
Yeah, I think, I mean, you've done well if you haven't been focused on the scale, because I feel like it's just so common, especially in women. Like, I don't know how many men do it, but I feel like it's very, very common for women to be attached to the scale. And, you know, they'll have this scale in the bathroom. Like for myself, I had a scale in the bathroom And I would literally weigh myself every morning, every night. Like, and you're obviously going to be heavier at night because you ate so much, you drank so much water. Like, you're literally living your everyday life, but I would be so hard on myself for it. And it's just a trigger, obviously, for a lot of people. And so when I have clients that do the same thing, I tell them to put their scale in like a separate room. And I'm like, don't have it in your bathroom. Mm. Don't have it in a place that you can, like, you could even put it behind the couch or something, like somewhere where you're probably not going to take it out, because there's actually this rule that, like, if something takes you more than 20 seconds to do, you're probably not going to do it. So I'm like, just hide it, like put it in the closet, put it somewhere where you're not going to see it, because it's just not like a valid way of measuring anything. Like, if you look at it, The Rock is like, what, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, he's huge. Like, he is huge. And realistically, if you weighed him, he would be considered overweight, but nobody would ever say that he's overweight.
What I tell to my clients is, if they really want to track it by scale weight, which I hardly advise against, I just say, please do it less, like max once a week, or even ideally, yeah, like fortnightly, or even once a month. Because if you're trying to do it every day, it will change based on your feminine cycle or how many carbs you've eaten, because that will affect how much water you're holding in your body, how much sodium you've eaten, if you've eaten a meal out at a restaurant or takeaways, or how stressed you are. Like, there's so many things to change it that it, like, that's not actually like fat or anything. You, like, you're not putting on that much fat and taking it off a day. It's just other processes within your body. So I really try to say, like, just do it less instead of a daily thing, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Like, you just, yeah, I mean, and you could be wearing like a bigger sweater or something too, and all of a sudden it adds, you know, a little bit more, and it's like, well, you're not gaining a pound every single day. Like, I was just gonna say, it's also like, I definitely tell them that it just takes time to, like, stop thinking about it that way. And, like, you know, stop thinking about, okay, well, the number really matters. Like, because obviously, like, a lot of women come and, you know, they want weight loss. Like, that's just a normal thing. It's very, very common now. And it's just something that, you know, like, you just have to, like, have a different view on it. Or, you know, like, maybe they want to get stronger after a while, but I do find that the very first thing is like weight loss, weight loss, weight loss. But once you start thinking about things in a different light, then it does start to change. It just takes some time.
Mm. Yeah. One of the other tips I gave to one of my clients, I was like, maybe you should put the scales away for the next few months. And I said, how about you write a diary, either daily if you want, or once a week, based on how do you feel? Like, how's my energy levels? How's my sleep? How's my gym performance? Am I staying on track with my food? Like, how do I literally feel within myself? And just answer those questions in a journal week to week. And that can be a way better way to measure it, because maybe your energy has increased now that you're eating more. You can actually lift heavier. So you're going to build more muscle, which is actually going to speed up your metabolism. So it's kind of like a backwards way of doing things instead of just focusing on the numbers. So it can actually really improve your life, like, to think of it based on how you feel instead. And two other ways you can do to measure the progress, you can do before and after photos, because then you can kind of see more muscle definition, or like the shape of your body changing, or doing like measurements as well. Like, if you're trying to, I don't know, it depends on what your goals are, what your starting point is. But if I'm like trying to grow my legs and like have my waist more defined, you'll like, you can do a measurement and like a few months later measure it all again, kind of thing. So you can track the progress that way.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And progress photos are awesome, because I find that, you know, even when you do take progress photos, like, some people are like, I never lost a pound, but, you know, my, like, look at my muscles, or look at how much I've grown, or whatever, which is like exciting to most people. Like, once you see that, it's like, you know, or even seeing the gym progress is really like exciting. So
yeah, and it doesn't have to be viewed in a negative way. Like, I see also lots of people bag about that online, say that people shouldn't take before and after progress pics, because they'll have all these unhealthy habits just to get the after picture. But how I look at it, like, I took some photos the other day because I'm about to start my prep, and then I could kind of see the proportions of my body. Like, okay, cool, like, my upper body's really good, at the moment, but I really want to work on building up my quads and my calves and like my core strength. But even like what my coach noticed a while ago is that my bicep starts like quite far up my arm. My sister always used to say it's like an apple. So my coach said I should do like movements where my arm's fully going down instead of just going halfway, because it'll like lengthen the muscle. So it can be used in a practical way, not like, oh, I'm going to starve myself to get the best after photo. It can be a way to look at yourself to see like what to actually change within your gym routine and what you want to focus on now, or what muscles are easy to grow and what ones are harder for you personally, so you know like how to create your training program based around that.
Yeah, exactly. No, I think, yeah, I definitely think they're so beneficial.
Yeah. The next thing I wanted to ask you was, what are some of your best fitness tips? Because you can work out and eat the same as someone else but still look different. And I don't know, I think it's different videos you've made based on like not being sore doesn't mean you didn't work hard, and also the importance of rest and recovery. So just like your basic best tips around fitness.
Yeah, I think one of the most important ones that I mean, I knew it was a thing, but I didn't really follow it when I first started. So when I started my fitness journey, like I said, it was like mental health reasons. So I worked out every single day, and I would do like hard workouts every single day. And I just totally forgot like the rest part of it. Like I got enough sleep. Like I sleep 7 to 8 hours, no problem, but I never really take a day off, and I just kept going and going and going. And then eventually when I got into, because I started working out at home, and then eventually when I got into the gym, I was like, okay, now I'm lifting like heavier weights, you know, it's getting harder, and I still wouldn't take a day off. And I was eventually like, it got to the point where I was like, oh my God, I think like my body just needs a break. And I took a couple days off, and I saw the most progress when I did that. And I was like, why did I not see this sooner? Like, you know, so I think that that's definitely something that like some people can forget about for sure. But I think that like I've gotten the most progress, and most of my clients have gotten the most progress when it's down to like 4 to 5 times a week and not like 7 days a week, you know?
Yeah, I think when people see me, online, I've come to the realization, I think people think my lifestyle is really extreme and I just work out all day, every day, and I eat so strict, and I feel like it's actually so much more relaxed, and I see the most results that way. So I genuinely work out 4 days a week, and I'm striving for 5 at the moment because I'm trying to train for the show, but 4 days is pretty good. I just strive for like every second day, and then before I broke my toe, I was walking my dog every second day. So it's like nothing intense. I'm not there all day, every day. I'm not like, I barely even sweat during my workouts, because it's not like like I used to do HIIT classes and stuff. So now it's like just weights where you can like take your time, and I don't know, you can like lift to the however you're feeling that day. It's not always 100% every time you're at the gym. It might be like 70 or 80% or something, unless you're trying to hit a PB. And I feel like even when I have a more unhealthy meal, like on Saturday, I had a friend's birthday, and I was just laying in bed so fatigued that day. And I was like, I need to get to the gym. And I was like, honestly, if I'm just in bed, like what's the point driving half an hour to get there, doing that whole session, coming home, trying to socialize? So I had the night off. I had some red wine by the fire. I ate as much pizza as I could and just ate lots of food. And then I went on the Sunday and just had the best leg session, because I'd actually had 3 days off. So I like lifted really heavy. I did so good. I felt so good within myself for achieving those goals, and just had more energy in between the sets because I had the extra food. I'd had the extra rest days. So my body was like raring to go. So I just don't think people think about that, because they're like, they will literally push themselves when they're exhausted. But sometimes rest is the most important thing to actually get your body to where it needs to be.
Oh yeah, definitely. And that was another thing, like you just said, like when you take those rest days, you're able to just push yourself so much more on the days that you are in the gym. So like I would go to the gym sometimes and I'd be like, oh, like, you know, I just don't have enough energy to push as much as I usually could. But if I realistically just took that day off and went the next day, or even took like 2 days off and then went, it would be like, well, I could probably push just as much. And, you know, I think you learn that over time. But I also think that like sometimes telling my clients, they're like, wait, I only have to work out like 3 times a week to get results. Like, what? But it's like, but yeah, like if you think about it, when you go from literally doing nothing to starting to work out 3 times a week, and like you said, you don't even have to sweat. It's just, you know, doing the right things, having the right form. Also, like, I feel like form is literally everything. Form and tempo are just like, you will get crazy results, right?
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think people also forget about like your body being in a stress response all the time. So for someone who's super busy, they're probably working full time, they've got a family to feed, they've got so many commitments. And if they're trying to get to the gym 6 or 7 days a week, number one, they're feeling guilty every day they're not going because the goal is probably too high for what they can physically achieve. And the other thing is if they are sacrificing sleep to go, then you're going to have more sugar cravings and you're going to have more caffeine cravings and actually be more tired because you're spending time there when you like your body actually can't physically do anymore. So I think if they do have an extreme mindset with all or nothing, like bringing the goals down and really prioritizing the rest day so your body is in a more relaxed state. And I find like, well, I was unwell for 2 weeks. It wasn't COVID. I just had like, I was just absolutely bedridden for 2 weeks and like I didn't gym. And you obviously lose a little bit of muscle mass, but I actually lost like a bit of body fat. Like my core was looking way leaner and stuff. And I'd just been laying in bed resting. So it's just so funny when that happens and you're like, I haven't even been working out. I've just been in bed completely out to it. And I actually like got leaner because I was just sleeping so much and recovering my whole body. And yeah, I don't know, like just not feeling guilty about those kind of things and pushing yourself to do something that you physically can't do.
Yeah. And even with you being in bed, like when you're working out as much as like, I mean, you are, like if anyone's working out like 4 times a week, even your muscles are going to be like inflamed. And then, you know, when you're resting, you're going to be able to see them. And it's like, it's actually so cool to be like, oh, I just took a rest day, but I look more fit than I did like yesterday.
Yeah. And that's so funny.
I feel like my last thing that like, I think is so important is just to find your why. Like, why are you actually going to the gym? Because it's actually going to help you get to the gym. I feel like lots of clients, even like myself, when I started, I was like, oh, I want to lose weight. But if you have a different reason for going, I feel like people stick to it a little bit more when it's not just, and when it's not just weight loss, like, and I do challenge my clients to be like, okay, we can work on that, but what else do you want to achieve? Like, what else would, you know, you actually feel good about doing in the gym, or would you actually feel good about, or what would actually get you to the gym, you know?
Yeah, I think having a goal is so underrated. I feel like doing the show is good for me to have consistency kind of thing, because I feel like I always make up excuses like, oh, I'm too tired to gym today. And sometimes I listen to my body and sometimes I'm like just making it up, and you'll feel better after you get the workout done. But for me, like the goals can be anything. So I was always too scared to do hip thrusts, deadlifts, because I didn't know how to load up the bar. And I was worried that people would look at me in the gym. I'm like, I don't know how to get off the bar. Like, how do you get the weights on when the bar's already on the ground? I don't know the right form to do hip thrusts and even deadlifts. I tried once when I was like 21 and hurt my back. So I just thought I couldn't do it. So I was like, okay, my goal is going to be that. So I'll just start doing it with just the bar weight. And I always share my story, like, you don't need to compare your weight to anyone else. Like, I see girls doing the same show as me in the bikini category, like they're way smaller than me and they actually lift like 3 or 4 times as much as me for hip thrusts and stuff. But for me, I just work out to what feels good, what can I feel burning, what's challenging. And then just really focusing on the form and mind to muscle connection, that's so like underrated as well. And even if you are learning those things, like the bar's 20 kg. So I'll just do it with that and really focus on what muscles I can feel. Is my shoulders back? Am I keeping it close to my body? And just figuring out what feels good to you instead of like seeing someone else do something crazy and then trying to smash it to the same level as them when you're not at that level kind of thing.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's like the best part of the gym, is that you're not actually comparing yourself to other people. You can literally go in with like completely separate goals than everyone else. And I think that's what's so exciting about it, is you're not actually competing with anyone. Like, I mean, if you go into a show, then yes, obviously you are. But if you're just going to the gym just to go to the gym, then, you know, you're really just competing with yourself, and you have nobody else to be, you know, judging. Or like, even if people are judging you in the gym, it's like, you get over it eventually. It's like, whatever.
Yeah, I always try to say to people, if someone is looking at you, try to take it as a compliment, because I've done this a few times when I'll like look at a girl and I'm like complimenting their outfit, or I'm like, whoa, that girl's so fit, her hair is so nice. But they would probably be like, oh my god, what a bitch, she's staring at me. But I'm just too scared to like introduce myself. I'm like, oh wow, she looks really cool. So people aren't always thinking something bad. Or a girl has come over to me, when I was learning to do hip thrust, I was doing them on the leg extension machine, because you don't have to set up the bar. And I don't know, like I was just doing a set like that while I was still learning how to do the actual move. And she came over to me, she's like, wow, I've never seen anyone do it on that machine before, and was just asking me questions and stuff. So she's not necessarily like, oh, what a weirdo. They're more looking for interest or wanting to find out more about what you're doing. So trying to take looks at the gym as like a compliment rather than automatically thinking it's negative.
Yeah, exactly. That's a great point. I think that's awesome.
The next thing I wanted to ask you about was your best cooking and food tips, like how to get enough protein, healthy swaps, how to save time in the kitchen and things like that.
Yeah, I think the best tip is just to start meal prepping. I feel like meal prepping was what it kind of like changed my relationship with food, because because I had lived my life so much around food, and you know, I had so many triggers and just everything else with food. I was like, okay, at least with meal prep, I know that I have food all the time. I don't have to worry about, like, I would literally sit there and think about, what am I going to eat? What has the lowest calories? What has this? Like, what has the most protein? Mm-hmm. Like, I would overthink everything if I had to eat out. So I was like, the way to solve that is just meal prep. And it helps so much when you're busy, because you're saving money. It takes a couple hours on a Sunday. And if you don't know how to cook, it gives you a chance to like learn how to cook and learn the things you like. And I think that it might just be like being plant-based, but I felt like I was able to really like learn so much about flavors and foods and just try different foods and stuff when I was meal prepping. And I kind of like wanted to get creative with it and stuff. And I just think that that's like what helped me pretty much like get healthier and like, you know, learn things around the kitchen. I think it's like one of the best ways to just learn everything about the kitchen, to be honest.
Yeah, I think some of my best tips are, if someone is just a single or a couple, like you don't have kids or anything, just cook family size portions, basically. So if you're doing like a big curry, or I love doing like vegan butter chicken and adding like the mock chicken and beans and butter chicken paste and coconut milk and rice, just cook a lot. And then you've just got meals for the whole week to take to work with you and things like that. And then just making sure you're always rotating your ingredients. So for your carbs, don't just always have the same carb, because we need diversity in our gut bacteria. So have white rice one time, and then for the next meal do sweet potato, then the next one pumpkin, and then beans or legumes, or the next one quinoa or something. So you're always switching things around to create things differently, and just buying different color veggies because they've got different nutrients to help with different things in our body and stuff. So don't just resort back to the same thing on repeat. And I see that so bad in actual meal plans. One of my friends sent me one, and he was like, oh, like I should have just asked you to help with my meal planning, but he paid this guy to write him up a plan. And then he sent it to me to look over, and it was just one PDF page with one day of food to repeat for God knows how long, like the same meals on repeat. And they did say like you can change your veggies, but it was like the exact same chicken, the exact same beef or like mince, and then the exact same breakfast and snacks daily. I'm like, God, that's like the worst. Well, number one, that's lazy on the trainer's behalf, but that's the worst thing you can do for your gut health is just like eat the same thing. And you'd probably get bored of it. Oh my God.
I was going to say, I think that's why I just don't. I hate meal plans. Like if I have any client that's like, oh, I want a meal plan, I am like, I'm not giving you a meal plan. Like I you could pay me how much money. I don't care. Give me your money. I will not. I won't. I refuse to, because I think that it's like, well, what if you don't, like, first of all, I'm not going to give a meal plan like that. That's like the same thing for 7 days or however long. But I do think that it's like, I wouldn't feel good if someone was like, you have to eat this for breakfast, lunch and dinner, like, and I just don't think that it's like realistic for people. I think you're right. You just need to, you know, diversify your diet and make sure you're getting, and it's also like when you go to the grocery store, some things might be on sale or some things might not be on sale. And I think that's another thing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I think that's a good point. And I've had heaps of trouble in my business, like defining what approach to take because I don't follow a meal plan. So I'm like, well, what is it that I offer my clients because they'll want this plan just because everyone else I know offers that. But I just offer, like when I did my Beautiful Body Blitz program, I just had ebooks, like a whole ebook of breakfast recipes, a whole ebook of savory snacks and so on. So it's not like you've got to eat this on this day because I say, and in this amount with this exact many calories and macros. It's like choose from any of these 20 or 30 recipes for breakfast. So like each week they can try something new, or I'll just say like add in 2 new recipes a week minimum from any of these ebooks to your current lifestyle. So it's not like overhauling their whole diet and everything they've ever known. It's like they can make one new snack for the week and one new dessert, or like a lunch and a dinner. So it's not like this big scary overhaul thing. And I don't prescribe meal plans either. And even with, I think we generally do need different amounts of food on different days, depending on what we've got on, how we're feeling, different times during the month for women. So to say like you need this exact amount of food or like every day, if like, I don't know, I just don't think that's right. So I like to have more freedom.
Yeah, I agree. And like, I mean, you're taking on clients too that like maybe they already have however much in their pantry, like you know, you have no idea, and it's like, well, what are you just gonna like leave that food and never eat it again? Like probably not. So it's a little bit more realistic to be like, okay, well, you know, you're already eating this stuff, so just switch a couple things or swap a couple recipes or you know, like it, like I was saying before, it's hard for people to just completely stop stuff. So, you know, what do you actually like to eat? And, you know, swap a couple things in the recipe, make it a little bit healthier or make it a little bit more balanced, or even add stuff just to make it a more balanced meal so that they stay full, right?
That's so good. Did you have any tips in relation to the cooking and food as well about how can someone who's vegan or plant-based make sure they're getting enough protein? Because it took me like a little while to learn this, I think. I remember my Nana asked me years ago, because she went plant-based before me. She like taught me everything. And she was like, oh, where are you getting your protein from, love? And I was like, oh, just like in the veggies. But I think bodybuilding for me has helped, like just learn of just having a protein goal that like, yes, the food has protein, but you actually need to make specific swaps. You can't just have like a salad with just veggies or just broccoli or whatever. And I saw this this funny TikTok the other day. It was like a fruitarian, or it was like raw tofu or something, or fruitarian diet, and they just ate fruit all day, but then dinner time was, it looked lovely, like it was avocado and potato, but then this dietitian did like a stitch and she's like, yeah, there's no protein in the meal. So even though there might be like a couple grams or whatever, all the vegans were like, yeah, there is protein in veggies and fruit, blah, blah, blah. But if you, especially if you're working out or have physique goals, yes, there's protein, but like not enough to actually sustain your day. So you do actually have to like plan your, like balance your plate properly, like just be smart about it kind of thing.
Yeah, definitely. I see that a lot in like restaurants and stuff where they'll have like that, you know, they'll replace steak with like a cauliflower steak or something. And it's like,
Yeah, I've seen it so much.
I'm like, I see the concept, but you're right. Like, as you know, obviously nutritionists, but also people that do go to the gym often and have physique goals and stuff, and protein goals and whatnot. Like, I think it's just important to know what foods are actually like considered to have a lot of protein and what foods aren't. So like, even people that are thinking of peanuts as protein, like, yes, they do have a lot of protein, but they're higher in fat. And I think that's like, you know, like once you start to understand like what is a lean protein, like things like tofu and tempeh and seitan or seitan, I'm not sure how to say it, but
yeah, I call it seitan.
I feel like everyone says it different. Like, but I mean, it's high in protein, right? Or like the sun-fed chicken, like you want to make sure that you're really focused on, okay, you're getting carbs in your meal, you're getting fats, but you're also getting protein. And realistically, vegetables do have protein, but it's definitely not enough to like reach any sort of goals. And I think if you're replacing, if you look at anything, if you look at a plate and there was supposed to be chicken or it's a cauliflower instead of a steak, like make sure that, you know, you're substituting it with some sort of protein. Even if you wanted to have a cauliflower steak, like maybe have a protein shake for dessert or something like that, you know, just to get your protein in, right?
Yeah, I think bodybuilding has really helped me understand all that stuff of if you've got this goal for the day, and especially because I don't track food as well, but on the few days I have, I've like used it as a learning tool. But like, I think it was a year ago, I had lunch at this beautiful cafe on the beachside, and it was like zucchini and tomato with pesto. Like, it was zucchini pasta with tomato and pesto. So I'm like, oh, what a lovely dish. And then the second I finished it, I was still starving. So I'm like, wow, there's actually no carbs in there or protein. Like, it's not even a balanced meal and it's still expensive. But then quite often lately, I've been to places and they'll offer like a veggie wrap, but it's like just salad. So I'm like, oh, do you have any tofu here? And they're like, oh no, we don't have it. And it's not to blame the cafes, because obviously none of the owners or staff know what to do or have expertise or know what to do to make a balanced meal, or they're probably more focused on taste and flavor instead of like nutritional quality. So it's like not to blame them if they've never done it or learned about it. But I thought that was so funny about the cauliflower steak as well, because that should be like then the veggie, not the steak.
No. I know, it's like, it's a great concept. I'm glad that somebody thought of it as a concept, but it's just not. You just can't.
Yeah, it's not substantial. So yeah, even if you're eating like veggies and stuff, like the broccoli isn't enough to repair your muscles and like actually help keep you, yeah, like achieving your physique goals if that's what you're working towards as well.
Yeah, exactly. And like, I like to explain to my clients, just like, if you look at, you know, there's that typical like bodybuilder meal, there's always rice, there's always broccoli, and there's always chicken. But if you're replacing that chicken with vegetables, like, you're replacing all of that protein that you should be getting. And, you know, it's just not going to be sustainable. You're not going to be full for very long. So
Yeah. The last part of this question was about saving time in the kitchen. And then I just wanted to say that I think people think vegan or plant-based diets, like, it's so much meal prep or cooking time. But what I noticed is that it actually shortens the cooking time for me, because everything takes less time to cook. You can do a stir fry in 10 minutes. I literally buy pre-marinated tofu or just marinate it at home, chuck it in the air fryer, 10 minutes, I've got a whole meal. And then the thing with like the mock meats, you don't have to like worry about getting salmonella or food poisoning, because like you just fry it until it's golden, like a few minutes. And then I like all my veggies crispy and stuff. So everything's actually become faster to me. Like, I can cook a meal at home. Sometimes I think like, oh, I really want takeaways, but you can actually cook a meal faster than buying takeaways, and it's cheaper. So I think these kind of foods do help you to save time, and then just cooking in bulk as well. But did you have any tips on how someone could save time in the kitchen or be more prepared with their food?
Yeah, I think just having, so my first tip would definitely be like, buy your vegetables and then just like cut them up, because then you're gonna be more inclined to actually want to cook them. My second thing would be, I do this like every week now because I just don't meal prep anymore. I feel like I started out meal prepping and now I work from home, so it's a little bit easier for me to cook. But I definitely recommend like making some sort of carbs at the beginning of the week. So anything, rice, brown rice, quinoa, like literally anything, because then if you have that, you literally just, like you said, make a stir fry, throw it all together. Like sometimes they'll make like the simplest stir fry and you can just throw your tofu in or whatever you want to eat, if you eat chicken or whatever. And then that's it. Like you just throw it on the rice and that's, you're good to go. So.
Yeah, I used to tell my clients that as well. Like if the carbs do take longer to cook, like quinoa might take a while or something. So I just say to do like a huge lot of your carbs at the start of the week. But if you didn't have any carbs prepared, because I did this once as well, I was making a stir fry and I was just, sometimes I just can't be bothered. I'm like, I've got the protein, got the veg. And I'm like, I don't have any carbs or I don't have potatoes to chuck in the air fryer. And I'm like, beans, literally just open half a can of I would probably eat almost a whole can, like two-thirds of a can of lentils or something. You can just chuck in some beans and boom, like it's so instant. You just have to heat it through, like, and then you've got your carbs, so it's a balanced meal. But definitely if it's pasta or something, you can do like a big mac and cheese thing to have on the side or a big thing of quinoa. And I cook my quinoa in veggie stock as well, so it's got more flavor and stuff. But yeah, definitely, like if you're going to roast some veggies, do a whole tray instead of like just enough for that meal, so you've got food for the next few days.
Yeah, exactly. And another thing that we do all the time is like slow cooker curries, because you can just throw everything into the slow cooker and leave it all day. And then we always pick up like some naan bread at the store and it takes like 5 minutes once you put it in the oven. And then that's what we have like all the time, because if you cook it in the slow cooker, it makes so much food. So you've got this curry for like the next 6 days or something. Like it's crazy.
Yeah. The next question is kind of what we touched on before, but it's like why you can't just remove meat from your diet and about finding alternative protein substitutes. So I've shared this in my 8-week program I did. Like this lady was posting in the vegan groups and they quite often share their meals in there, and she looks like quite underweight, I would say, but it was like just a plate of like different veggies, so there was no carbs or healthy fats like seeds or anything like that. So yeah, just like make sure you're always balancing your plate correctly. So I like to say, if you're like, especially on a weight loss journey, it's easy to add, like make your plate half veggies or salad, so you've got so much voluminous foods, and it also helps things move through your body quickly. And then a quarter carbs, a quarter protein, and then like 2 tablespoons of fat. So not every meal will look like that. Like sometimes I'll make a big veggie nachos or a big potato salad, or mac and cheese is like so carb heavy, so you don't always need to have so many veggies. You can just sprinkle some spinach through it or something. But that can kind of be like the key. And even like making sure you get enough healthy fats for your hormones. Like too many women are scared of that, I think, because of the calorie density. But if you have healthy hormones, then your body makes you lose weight easier. So I just like adding seeds to my food, like sunflower seeds, pumpkin seeds, or hemp seeds, or a side of avocado, or adding some nut butter to your smoothie or something. So just trying to think about getting in all your macros in like a balanced way.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, I think that's another thing is like once you, like both of us, because we've looked at food in a place of like fueling our bodies and actually getting, you know, like the healthy fats and everything, it's a lot easier to actually want to put them in your diet and, you know, see the benefits and stuff. And I think that just comes with time. Like, you know, slowly as my clients are learning from me and learning from themselves and just like how they're feeling with like eating the different foods and adding seeds to things and adding the healthy fats and also knowing what's healthy, like the difference between like healthy fats and not healthy fats, you know, like seeing that and being like, okay, I can add as much of, you know, the nut butter into my smoothie as I can, and I don't need to be scared of it, you know, and seeing like the difference in how they're feeling and stuff. And yeah, it's just really beneficial to just be educated. Like, I think that every nutritionist would say this is like, why do they not teach us this in school? Because like, I think that like health is such an important thing. And, you know, even in grade 12, they had like one health class and I feel like I didn't get anything from it. But now that I know all these things, like, I feel like I'm actually, like you said, like, you know, all my clients are fueling their hormones and everything and fueling their bodies like in a way better way than what they were before. And they're still losing weight. And it's like, it's real exciting, you know?
The final question I had, we kind of touched on that already as well, but it was, what are your favorite go-to meals right now? So I think I'll put a spin on it and say, like, if you're craving something unhealthy or takeaways, are there any like homemade versions of things that you really look forward to, or any like healthy alternatives to sweets or something that you make at home, like some of your favorite go-to recipes?
Yeah, so I used to be like super obsessed with mac and cheese, like super obsessed. I feel like pasta and mac and cheese is like my thing. So now I have this, like, I use the chickpea noodles or the lentil noodles, and then like just to get some extra protein. And then I'll make like cashew cheese sauce, and it is like to die for. It's so good. So that's definitely like my go-to for like something savory. But if I was to go for something sweet, that's a good question. I don't know why I'm obsessed with dark chocolate. Like, I actually never really liked milk chocolate. So for me, it's kind of easy. Like, I never really loved ice cream. I'm not really like if my boyfriend brought me home like a tub of ice cream or something, I would be like, why are you bringing me ice cream? Like, I will not eat that. So for me, that's kind of a hard question, because I just love like dark chocolate though. So it's, you know.
Cool. I think it's not even like a comfort food. I think if I'm feeling like I need a boost in iron, like I don't crave meat, but sometimes you just feel like a bit washed out, I love the Veggie Delights mint, because it's fortified with iron and B12 as well. And then to bulk it out, I add a can of beans to it. So I do like onion, garlic, and it's so simple, just a pack of veggie mints, a can of beans, and a can of crushed tomatoes, and you boom, got nachos straight away. Like, eating plant-based is so quick and easy. It's just like unbelievable. But the beans are a good way to bulk it out, like, instead of just having so much mock meat, at least it goes a little bit further. And then if people have like issues digesting beans or legumes, it's only because they haven't built up like the right gut bacteria to do it yet. So they just have to introduce it slowly, because lots of people are like, oh my God, I could never eat beans. But you literally just have to try with like a small amount and then slowly build it up. And years ago, like, I used to just eat... I used to eat a lot back in the day, like a whole can of chili beans on toast for breakfast, and I'd be fine, kind of thing. So I think just building it up slowly. But yeah, I think mine's nachos. But with that same recipe, you can also turn it into like a lasagna as well. Just like use the mince, but put it into a lasagna dish. Like, there's just so many ways to do it. But I really like that kind of thing for something more dense. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that sounds really good. I'm like, okay.
Yeah. Did you have anything else to add before we finish up, or anything else you'd want to touch on?
I think that's it. Honestly, I think it's just important to just have balance in your diet. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that's the most important thing. It's just like, even if you do have a really carby meal, but it's literally fine. Like, you know, just eat some balanced meals and stuff. And I just think, I think that balance in everything, in fitness, in nutrition, in your life, is just really important.
I think that's a really good approach to have, and I think we're the same. We're like quite relaxed about it. We just enjoy a nice carby meal and then feel good and then carry on with your day.
Pretty much.
I'll leave the links to Elisa's social channels in the description. So thank you so much for listening, everyone, and stay tuned for next week.
Bye. Thanks for having me.